This is HM96 Podcast. I'm Fiona Adams. When used outside of a Pokemon battle, this hidden machine allows me to host a weekly podcast where guests and I discuss a Pokemon and its evolutionary family. Hi, y'all. Thank you so much for listening to and sharing this podcast as it just starts out. My wildest expectations have already been surpassed. With this episode, The Last Kanto Starter, I'll also be launching a Patreon to support this podcast and my other creative endeavors. Tiers of support include early episode access and the ability to ask a question on the air. Thank you so much. Thank you so, so much. I can't overstate how much it means that it's already gotten this far. And now back to the show.
And joining us this week is Dustin Christensen. Dustin, why don't you tell the audience a bit about yourself?
Hello. Fiona just said, my name is Dustin, and I am a podcaster. I have a lot of podcasts. I started out with my anime podcast called BakaCast, which you can find at www.projecttaruhi.net. And it's currently on hiatus, and it has been replaced by JoJo's Bizarre Rewatch, which Fiona is familiar with.
Yeah, it got me to start watching from the actual beginning and not just Diamond is Unbreakable. And that's you and Megan, and it's Kevin, Jules, and Luke.
Yes, that is correct. So the normal BakaCast is where we actually, each week we talk about the current season of anime, and sort of rate each episode that's aired that week. Whereas JoJo's Bizarre Rewatch is, as it says in the on the tin, a rewatch podcast about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, where I take people who've never seen it before and expose them to it, and we kind of go scene by scene through the episode. So it's very different from what I'm used to doing. The last podcast I do want to plug is Roll for Your Lives, which is my actual play RPG podcast, which is currently doing a Dungeon World campaign, and I'm quite proud of it and how it's turning out. So if you want to take a look at that, yeah, please do. And also take a look at Friends at the Table, which is a podcast that Roll for Your Lives was heavily inspired by. there's Austin Walker kind of inspired me to do the current arc on Roll for Your Lives. So
nice.
I'm here to talk about Pokemon.
Squirtle, Wartortle, and Blastoise.
Yeah, the Squirtle line. Also Mega Blastoise, I assume.
Well, yeah. I mean, we went deep into Mega Charizard X when Jordan was here. Because Mega Charizard X is...
Okay, the correct one.
Yes. Yes, the awesome one.
Yeah, exactly.
The fire/dragon type.
Yeah, the Super Saiyan.
Yeah, basically, it changes color scheme, it gets a bit more spiky.
Yeah.
And it just destroys everyone.
Exactly.
But yeah, so you're here to talk about the water starter for the Kanto region. And so like we kind of have started getting away from the questions, but like there's still good starting off points. So like what do you think Squirtle, Wartortle, Blastoise's like role is as an animal in the Pokemon world?
It's interesting. I think one of the tough things to think about with Pokemon is how the Pokemon actually exist in an ecological sense.
Yeah, like sometimes because Pokedex entries go into it.
Because they're not really... Yeah, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And like they're not usually designed to make any sort of sense in an ecological system that exists with all the other ones. They don't often mesh well together.
Yeah, it's weird, because it's like there's no other fauna. Like, there's other flora, because there's obviously trees and regular flowers and regular grass.
But, like, all animals are Pokemon.
Yeah.
So you just have a bunch of, like, hyper-powerful animals wandering around. It's like if the default version of your Labrador could, like, use Hyper Beam. That's insane.
No, it would be Ember. Because Growlithe.
Oh, right, yeah. Growlithe seems more like a golden retriever to me, but okay. That works.
Yeah.
But yeah, so how Squirtle interacts with the environment, that's That is definitely one I had to, like, think about before. Sort of, like, brainstorm as I was at work today. And I imagine that it's kind of easy with Squirtle because it's a turtle.
Yeah.
Like, so you can kind of assume, like, okay, it probably does turtle things. So it lives in rivers, eats fish.
See, that's the other thing, is they never make it clear that there's a food chain in the Pokemon world.
Yeah.
Like, we've been assuming there's a food chain.
Because there has to be, right?
There has to be. They can't just all eat berries.
Yeah, and, like, Wartortle's, and Wartortle's Pokedex entry talks about it stalking prey.
Yeah, it's like, it's so, like, there's so many things, it's just so weird.
So, like, clearly, Squirtle probably preys on, say, Goldeen and Magikarp.
Well, yeah, well, it might break its beak on Magikarp.
Yeah, maybe not Magikarp. Well,
but, like, Goldeen,
maybe. Squirtle might, but Squirtle probably goes after the softer fish. That's another thing, are there any freshwater fish?
I mean, there's gotta be.
In the original 151?
In the original... Hold on, let's go to everyone's favorite source of knowledge.
Because, like, Goldeen clearly seems like a seawater one, and it evolves into Sea King, so...
Yeah.
And Magikarp is... I don't know, maybe Magikarp is both? I don't...
Goldeen could be both.
I mean, that's the problem, is, like, you get into these questions where, like, there's no definitive answer because the people who designed these things didn't bother thinking about it. Because why would you? Like, who gives a shit, really?
Dustin going hardcore. I mean, there's Krabby, so you could have river-based.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, maybe Squirtle lives the good life and just dines on crab all day.
Yeah, you got Krabby, you got... I imagine Slowpoke live in rivers.
Yeah, and from what I know, because, like...
Poliwag.
I've owned a turtle before. Like, they don't just eat meat. So, like, he could be snacking on melons or various lettuces. Like, they're
on Bellsprout.
Yeah, exactly.
Or cottage.
Yeah, or be a vegetarian carnivore. Is it still carnivorous if the plant is alive? Like, if it's sentient?
We considered that on another episode, and we went with no, because it's still a grass type.
Okay. So if it's pure grass type, or, like, a grass and then another type that isn't, like, doesn't imply an animal, then it's okay.
Yeah, like grass poison, you could probably remove the poison sac, like you have to do with fugu fish.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
Or like bug grass.
So bug grass would be carnivorous because bug is an animal.
But like grass poison, like you could probably remove the poison sac out of a Bellsprout or something.
Okay, that's good to know. I don't know why that's good to know, but it is. hold on. Does that mean Bulbasaur... So that means vegetarians could eat Bulbasaur. Because Bulbasaur is pure grass.
Well, no, Bulbasaur is grass poison.
Even though technically Bulbasaur is clearly a dinosaur. Or is supposed to be.
See, now we're...
I know, right? It's hard.
It's so difficult! I think it might be... Let's base it on... physical appearance. If it looks like a plant, like, so, an Oddish looks like a turnip.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a Bellsprout looks like a bell plant.
Yeah, both of those look like just plants that have legs now. Whereas Bulbasaur is, like, mainly a dinosaur with plant parts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or, like, Chikorita. Like, you wouldn't eat a Chikorita.
Well, I might.
Oh my god.
Anyway, about turtles.
About turtles.
Yeah.
That's a perfect segue right there.
So about turtles. Yeah, so Squirtle's place in the ecology seems pretty obvious, as does Wartortle's, because Wartortle is kind of just like a meaner version of a turtle.
Yeah. Like a snapping turtle.
Yeah. Yeah, a snapping turtle that has weird feathered ears for some reason. Like, it's bizarre. I don't know what's going on with War Turtle's whole tail ear area. But Blastoise is the harder one.
Yeah, Blastoise is just like a giant fuck-off turtle. Blastoise is Water Gamera.
Yeah. And here's the thing, is like Blastoise
water
is
Mecha Gamera.
According to Bulbapedia, the ultimate source for facts about Pokemon, Blastoise is 5 feet tall, typically. Like, average height, 5 feet.
That's shorter than me.
Like, that's...
How? Yeah,
but that's still pretty large for a turtle.
Yeah.
Like, most turtles also, are like, maybe 1 foot max.
Yeah, but also, like, you expect a Blastoise to be bigger than that?
Yeah, that's true. Like, when you see its sprite, you're like, oh, that dude has cannons on his back. It must be huge. And it's like, no, it's... Like, I'm a foot taller than Blastoise.
Oh, you're a tall boy?
Yeah, I'm 6'4".
Dang. You're taller than Roxy.
Yeah, 6'4", 155 pounds. I'm basically a tree. A birch tree, because I'm tall, thin, and white. I'm kind of shocked it was that funny, but thank you.
I think it's more funny to me because literally all of my IKEA furniture is birch.
Oh, okay.
Like, I just look to the left, or I look down at my desk, and it's just a sea of birch. So, like, I'm very familiar with the color of birch.
Yeah, it's extremely white.
It's so.
Yeah, it's very white.
This might be another long one, and by long, I mean 45 minutes. Yeah. It's because you keep making me laugh.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I don't know what Blastoise is really supposed to be in the wild, like... Because he's kind of big, but not, like, huge big.
Yeah, and all of his Pokedex entries seem to talk about just, like...
How he can punch through steel or something with his cannons?
Yeah, or, like, used for high-speed tackles. Like, it doesn't talk about...
It's like, yeah, but how is that used in the wild? Like, how much... Well, I guess he's encountering steel types, but, like, is he eating onyxes for breakfast or something? Like, that seems...
I mean...
Onyx seems too big for him to eat.
Yeah... I mean, I'd imagine at the pressure that those cannons are going out, it would erode an onyx really quickly.
I mean, yeah, he could easily kill an onyx, but it would, like...
Like, just dissolve it into dust and sediment.
But I'm not sure if that would really serve a purpose for him outside of just sadism.
Yeah, it's like...
Because he's still, like, a turtle, so he presumably has to eat things that aren't just rock.
Yeah.
So,
though, apparently his subtitle in the Pokedex is the Shellfish Pokemon.
What?
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
I know.
He's not a crab. But I think that's just them trying to be clever, because he has a shell.
Yeah.
It's a shellfish, but no. He's not a fish either. Are you insane, Pokedex? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, it's, I don't know.
Oh, that description's from the anime. Okay, that's probably why, because the anime is dumb. It's dumb as hell.
It is. It really is.
I'm guessing, like, I can see how people would use a Blastoise.
Yeah, like, you would use it for firefighting, or, like, maybe digging tunnels, or something like that.
Or opening up bank vaults.
I was not expecting that.
I mean, if it can punch through steel with its cannons, like, you can do stuff with that.
Now I'm thinking about the opening of The Dark Knight, with Blastoise.
Yeah,
Blastoise
basically.
Blastoise and Mr. Mimes.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. The Joker just wearing a Mr. Mime mask.
That's...
I think Luke is on the Mr. Mime episode because of how creepy Mr. Mime is.
Yeah, that's fair. So, Yeah, I'm guessing Blastoise, the only reason it has those cannons is that so it can hunt larger prey, since it is now a larger thing.
Yeah.
So, like, I guess those cannons would be useful against Kingler.
Yeah, now I'm just thinking about a Blastoise, like, no-scoping something. Like, I'm just thinking about all these FPS tropes, but with a Blastoise. Or, like, maybe a Blastoise in Portal, where each cannon shoots out a different color portal.
Oh, God.
That would be Portal in the Pokemon world.
Do you think when the Squirtle Squad evolves, do they keep their sunglasses?
Yes.
So eventually we'll have a squad of Blastoises with sunglasses.
With really badass sunglasses.
Okay. Because that makes me the happiest.
Yeah, and just... that. Yeah. That would be just like a bunch of giant badass Blastoise.
Yeah. So I kind of want to move on from the roll thing, because I think we've exhausted that.
We very much exhausted that. So what do you think about the Squirtle line in terms of a designed thing in a video game?
It's...
Because, like, we just spent a lot of time discussing, like, Blastoise's design in terms of, like, how it makes no sense in an ecological sense.
Yeah. I think, in terms of video game design, like, one of the things about the first 151 Pokemon is that they're very simple in a lot of ways. And
yeah.
I think it was really important for them to be simple. Because since it was the very first game, you kind of had to get across the idea of what Pokemon was going to be and set a very distinct tone and, like, immediately solidify what that was going to be.
And you wanted to make them recognizable and drawable by children.
Exactly. And I think the first three starters, like, are extremely good about that.
Especially because, their base forms.
Yeah, because when you look through the base forms, it's like Charmander. It's a lizard with fire on its tail. Super easy to understand and draw. Then you've got Bulbasaur. As we've said before, tiny dinosaur with a plant on its back. All right, got it. Squirtle. It's a blue turtle.
With, like, a curly tail.
Yeah, it's like, again, it immediately gets across the idea that, okay, Pokemon are animals.
But not the animals we know.
Yeah, they're animals, like... In the sense that they fulfill the same role as animals that we are familiar with in our world, but they have a twist to them. They're not going to be like that. They're going to be more special.
Yeah.
And Squirtle fulfills that design in much the same way that Charmander and Bulbasaur do, in that he has an instantly recognizable shape. Every kid knows what a turtle is.
Yeah.
And he's designed to be cute and welcoming, just like Charmander and Bulbasaur. And in terms of gameplay balance, he's there to fill in that rock-paper-scissors slot.
Yeah, I was talking about with Jordan how, like, with starters, you want them to be powerful enough to keep around for a while, but not too powerful as to make it so that you always have to have it on your team.
Yeah, and also, like...
Like, I mean, I always keep starters on my team, as I said.
Yeah, so do I. But also you don't want them to, say, negate the use of any other Pokemon of its particular type. So, like, you don't want Blastoise to make the other water types feel irrelevant. Like, you always want someone to be... You always want to give someone a reason to go with Starmie instead.
Yeah, or Slowbro, or Gyarados, or Golduck. I go with Golduck.
Yeah.
Mine's named Daffy.
Of course.
Of course.
I'm trying to think what my favorite water type would even be. But that's
he
a question.
He says on the Blastoise episode.
Yeah, I mean, it is... Blastoise is definitely a contender. Quagsire might beat it.
Yeah, Quagsire is pretty cool.
But, anyway.
I have one on my restarted X team named Mudflap.
That's a pretty good one.
That's a pretty good name. I know nothing about Transformers, but someone shouted it out, and I was like, that sounds great.
That's a pretty good name.
And they were like,
name.
It's a Transformer. I'm like, I don't care, I'm going with it.
But yeah. So yeah, like Squirtle's. Just thinking about that question makes me realize how extremely well designed the Gen 1 starters are.
Yeah.
From both an aesthetic and gameplay perspective.
Yeah, definitely. They're very well balanced. I do feel like, though, the fact that they are 7/8 of them are male and 1/8 of them are female is a little unfair.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. Yeah.
I understand that you want to make it difficult to breed them so that they don't become less rare, but A, ditto.
Yeah.
Like, I literally just leave a ditto at the daycare.
Yeah.
Forever.
Exactly. And also, like when you think about...
That's how I have a level 100 ditto.
And also, when you think about that in like, sort of nature terms, like, in fluff terms, like, that's real weird.
Yeah, that reminds me. There's that one vault in Fallout that has the messed up gender ratio.
Yeah, that's a lot of males competing for a very small amount of females.
Yeah, but also like,
which just makes me wonder what Squirtle mating rituals look like. And now I just have to stop.
You need to stop right there.
Yeah,
but like, I will restart games. Like, I had to restart Soul Silver so many times to get a girl Cyndaquil.
Okay, good. You chose
Cyndaquil. So I could name her Paprika?
Yes. Oh, that is amazing. That's a really good name.
Right? Everyone loves that name.
But yeah, no, like, Squirtle's design is fantastic.
Yeah, Squirtle's is really good, and like, it continues this thing of like, they're, as they evolve, they get more like, badass looking?
Yeah. I'm actually not a fan of Wartortle's design.
Yeah, like, Wartortle's is really weird, but it still continues that sort of thing where it makes him look somehow a little... Like, with the fangs sticking out.
Yeah, it definitely tries to make him... Yeah, it definitely tries to bridge the gap between the cuteness of Squirtle with the stone-cold hard-ass of Blastoise. But yeah, yeah. It just ends up looking very...
Weird.
Yeah, because like...
You'd expect it to be water fairy.
Yeah, because the very cutesy sort of tail and ear designs clash so heavily.
Yeah, they're really fluffy.
With the "I want to murder someone" expression that Wartortle has.
And yet, little bits of blue blush on his cheeks.
Yeah, that's his war paint.
And then you got Blastoise, that's just like, you know, giant cannons.
Yeah, Blastoise is cool. Blastoise is a cool design, and... I think, even though Mega Blastoise isn't my favorite Mega design, it is the most hilarious to me, because it's just more cannons!
So, because Squirtle is a starter, there is more pop culture iconography of Squirtle.
Oh, yeah.
It's easy to get...
There's t-shirts and shit, there's plush toys.
Yeah, like, you tend to see, like, so, I live in New York, I've been to Nintendo World, now Nintendo NYC. Hold on, I need to burp. The joys of editing, I can just add all that out.
Yeah, fix it in post.
Yeah, and I'm going to actually edit. I do actually edit, which is why it's taken me so long to just start editing the Charizard episode, because I have to hear my own voice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You'll get used to it after 100 episodes.
But so I've been to Nintendo World or Nintendo NYC, and like... You can get a lot of Pokemon as, like, these little figures, or as pins.
Or as, like, I assume, keychain dangles or cell phone...
Yeah, keychains, yeah, stuff like that. Not so much charms anymore, since, like, most smartphones don't have charm holes on them.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, those don't exist.
So I think even if they do exist, that might be, like, a Japan-only sort of thing. With the t-shirts and the apparel and, like, the plush. Yeah. It'll be, like, the mascot-y one. So it'll be the starters.
It'll be the Gen 1 starters.
It'll be the Gen 1 starters. It'll be Pikachu. It'll be all of the electric rats of every generation.
Yeah.
But, like, I also don't tend to see a lot of fan art of Squirtle or Wartortle or Blastoise. Like, I don't see, like, trainer commissions of people with Squirtles.
Yeah. Like, it is rare when I see Squirtle, fan art, because I guess they're not necessarily the most visually interesting one compared to others.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's a very simplistic design.
Yeah, especially when you've got like a literal dragon.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, literal dragon.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, Charizard, I think, is probably the star that gets the most art attention, probably.
Yeah, at least in Gen 1.
Yeah.
Once you get to, like, Gen 6, all of them get fairly equal attention.
Yeah.
Do you have any specific stories you'd like to share about Squirtle, Wartortle, Blastoise?
I guess the story I'd tell is, like, why Squirtle in particular is significant to me, because, like, he's the first turtle Pokemon. Like, I don't think there are any other turtle Pokemon in Gen 1.
Not in Gen 1, no, and it takes a while to get another one, actually.
Yeah, like, we don't get one that's even close to as good until we get Turtwig. So for a while, Squirtle was the first and only turtle Pokemon, and as a kid, and also as an adult, I am a big fan of lizards and of turtles, and I actually owned a turtle as a kid for a bit. His name was Arrow. Aww. And he was a red-eared slider, and I kept him in an aquarium next to my bed. And sometimes he used the platform that we had in there to get out and crawl under my bed. but I really liked Arrow, and we would feed him watermelon and stuff, and perhaps we fed him a little too much because he got kind of fat.
Aw. I'm trying to imagine a fat turtle now.
Yeah, just imagine a turtle where its shell, like, some of its body is kind of, like, exuding from its shell.
Oh!
Maybe exuding is the wrong word, but, like...
No, because now I'm thinking about, like, I have really chubby arms, wearing something with sleeves too tight, and the fat,
Exactly. Picture someone wearing an outfit that's just slightly too small.
So
and that, and that is a fat turtle.
It's kind of adorable.
It is. It really is. But also we felt kind of bad about it. So to have a Pokemon that is like a animal I had in real life, a pet I had in real life, was really important, was really special to me, because I'd be like, oh yeah, that's Arrow, and like, I've actually named a Squirtle Arrow before.
Of course.
In one of my games. Though now I kind of reserve that for Turtwig, because as much as I love Squirtle, like, I kind of place Turtwig just slightly above Squirtle.
Yeah, I'm flipping through the Pokedex here. I'm so far counting 3 separate turtle lines.
Yeah, I think one of them is, there's a volcano turtle. I can't remember what its
name is. No, it's a fossil turtle from Gen 5.
Okay.
I'm not seeing a volcano. Oh, no, so yeah, there is that one, so that's 4.
Yeah. So yeah, I always like it when a Pokemon reminds me of something I really like in real life. Charizard did that for me with dragons. Squirtle does that for me with turtles. The Ampharos line does that for me with sheep.
Sheep are adorable.
Yes, they are. Ponyta does that for me with horses because, like, my mom has owned a horse since I was 3 years old.
Oh, wow.
So I have literally grown up with a horse.
Did you ever pay your horse to watch your dog?
No. No, I have not. But our dogs have all liked our horses. And our horses have pretty much treated them as tiny horses, and our dogs treated them as large dogs.
Aw, that's so cute!
Yeah.
That's so adorable. Oh my god.
We've had a lot of animals in my house over the years. We've had several dogs. We've had 2 horses and a pony. We've had a turtle. Had a couple bunny rabbits.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a big chunk.
So, yeah, we've had multiple different types of animals.
Wow.
And, yeah, like, we eventually decided that, like, we couldn't keep Arrow. So, because, like, it was a lot of effort. like cleaning out his aquarium took a lot of effort and time. And honestly, we eventually felt like he was big enough that like a small aquarium tank was just not a proper way to keep him.
Yeah.
So it was it was really tough for us. And like, we sort of came to the conclusion that like, he could probably have a better life somewhere else. So we, eventually, gave him to this, dude who, was willing to adopt him. And he had like a really nice setup for turtles and owned a bunch of them already.
And aww, so
we were like, yeah, like this is a better place for him. And I think, and there's also the moment where we realized just how big he had gotten because he dwarfed some of the turtles in his tank. It's like, oh.
Oh boy.
Yeah, he is pretty fat, huh? but yeah, so like any time I have the option of anytime like a game has a turtle or turtle like thing in it, that always makes me happy because it's like, oh yeah, it reminds me of the time I owned a turtle for a little bit. And yeah, Squirtle is important. Both Squirtle and Turtwig are important to me for that reason. Because
I'll probably have you back on for Turtwig.
I would very much appreciate that.
In like 4 years.
Yes. In a while.
God. Can't believe I'm doing this to myself.
But yeah, Squirtle holds a special place in my heart just for that reason.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
So would you like to just repeat your plugs?
Yeah, sure. As always, I am Dustin, and you can find my other podcasts, BakaCast, at www.projecthaurahi.net. You can find Roll for Your Lives at www.viking-rocketship.com. You can find JoJo's Bizarre Adventure also at Project Haruhi. Or you can also search for them using your podcast software of choice, like iTunes or Pocket Casts or whatever. And you can also find me on doing guest appearances on Totally Reprise. I've hosted, like, I think four bonus episodes now on Teenagers with Attitude.
Like, were you on one of the ones where they just hijacked it and talked about, what was it, Toku?
No, I was not on that one. The recent one I did is actually about Starship Troopers, and it was kind of a renegade
episode. Oh, yeah, I heard about that one.
Because it was just me, Jules, and Eric. So no, like, original founding members of TWA at all. We were just like, let's do an episode about something that isn't even related to Tokusatsu. Fuck it. We're doing this. But my other bonus episodes, I hosted two about Garo, which is Toku. I hosted one so far, I'm hoping to do more, about unofficial Sentai Akiba Ranger, which is an official parody Power Rangers season.
Huh.
And it's real funny. And it's real good. One of the Power Rangers is a Catgirl cosplayer.
I'm for it.
And like the Rita of the show was an adult actress.
Oh. Oh.
It's nuts. It is a crazy season, the Power Rangers, but I love it very dearly.
And if people want to follow you on Twitter?
Oh, yeah, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at StiltsTheGM. That's StiltsTheGM.
All
right. I post a lot of anime.
You post a lot of anime. I
post a lot of anime.
Like, even your reactions to things are anime.
Yeah. When I want to express myself, I do so in the form of anime GIFs.
Anyway, thank you so much for joining us.
It was fun. Thank you for having me.
No problem.
HM96 Podcast is part of the Audio Entropy family of podcasts. You can find us at audioentropy.com, as well as on iTunes. You can follow this podcast on Twitter at HM96Podcast. You can support this podcast and my other projects at patreon.com/Fiona with two N's. You can check my website, FionaAdams.com, with two N's, for the latest on my projects and convention schedule. From there, you can also follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and other social networks. Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back next week with the next step in our Pokemon journey.
Are we gonna clap?
No, I'll just edit this out. The way ZenCaster works is I hit record, and it starts recording for both of us.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, that's... It's. I might just keep this in.
So should I even need... Do I even need Audacity then? Should I keep it
No, it's going to record right in here and stick it in my Dropbox.
Okay, never mind. Cool.
That's why... Like, I linked this to Luke, and after the last episode of Let's Plays he posted, Luke should definitely use this.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, he probably should.
Because it just shoves it right into Dropbox in both MP3 and Wave.
Okay.
And it just is perfectly synced up.
Awesome. Is it separate audio tracks for everyone?
Yeah.
Or is it, oh, really?
Right? And it's free.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm so glad Sims told me about this.
All right, then.
I know. Like, no clapping. No nothing.
Okay, I should keep that in mind then. Yeah, I guess we should actually start. My bad.
It's fine. Let me just take... I might just stick these bloopers in the end.